let's start off with a good warm-up topic, which will be... All right, so we are recording this March 12th. So let's call it like halfway through March, almost the end of the first quarter. I want to hear, what live music have you guys enjoyed this year so far? And I want to hear what live music is on the horizon for you. And Wes, if you don't mind kicking off that, what live music have you enjoyed so far? Have you enjoyed any live music this year? I guess is a better question.
Well, the question I had was, does it have to be like an artist or could it be like a DJ set? Like an event that we've been to?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the best live music I listened to this year so far has been at Vibe Live off of Southside Boulevard.
Mm-hmm. Is that Al Pete's event?
Yeah. Okay.
Because that event looked like it was like an ox party, right?
It was.
Like,
part everyone, of it.
Like you could just go up and then play something off your phone or grab the ox cord?
Yeah, they had like a little 3-minute segment. Something that they're trying to like add into.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. That's and fire. It worked out for the, like, it worked out pretty well. It looked like it did. Al always throws pretty good parties.
Great fucking night.
Hmm. Okay, good stuff. And what do you got on the horizon for live shows or live concerts, whatever it may be?
I'm really hoping to see Masega in April, I think it is.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
where at? Where is he going to be at?
I want to say Hard Rock Cafe.
Oh, okay. Down in Orlando. Okay, that's right. That's right. Hard Rock Cafe had some damn good shows. It's a good venue, too. Yaya, you're looking like...
I know, right? I was waiting for the...
No, actually, that's right. That's right. You guys went to go see Art Atlantic, so it's not...
They need to improve the sound. Like, with all the money and all the concerts that they've been doing there, and the AC is great. I will say that.
Don't
mess the AC up.
The roof is actually really intact.
Well, as a Floridian, that compliment goes a long way, right?
It does.
Where it's like, look, the AC is popping. And usually that's enough for most people. Like, oh, I'm going to check that out.
But the sound quality, I'm very disappointed. Like, we didn't get to, obviously, we weren't there early. So we had in the back, we were by the bar. And the sound is terrible. Like, be able to go. And like, the sound in the bathroom was better than by the bar.
That's crazy.
So do better.
So,
please, House of Blues.
Are we talking about Hard Rock or House of Blues?
Oh, I'm talking about House of Blues. My bad, y'all.
Okay, that's what I meant to say.
Hard Rock.
I'm tripping.
What was you saying, Rocky?
I think Masego's at House of Blues.
House of Blues. Okay.
Oh, so then you better get there early.
Yeah.
Because if I'm not mistaken, Hard Rock is you have to go into Universal, the parks and all that. Which is kind of a pain in the ass if we're being real.
That's more of a theater style.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. What about you? Because I feel like you, Tony, and Freddie, this little trio going on, you guys have enjoyed a couple of live.
We recently just saw Ari Lennox and that was great. But I gotta go to New Orleans, man, and New Orleans had live music in every single corner, and it's kind of hard to say that, but that's probably gonna be my top for the year right now. Well, I don't know, we'll see what y'all say, but right now, like, that is like New Orleans right now with the jazz music, the vibe, the energy, the people. It was just too good. It was too good. Even like our Uber drivers, like, kind of music. So I'm going to say, and then the upcoming show, obviously, we're going to see Beyonce in Europe. And I'm really excited about that because I've never been to Europe, and we're going to see her in Amsterdam. And so
you got a lot going on for you for that trip.
Yeah.
Amsterdam, first Europe trip, Beyonce.
Yeah, like, I'm going to be out there for 2 weeks. So I've never done a 2-week vacation. Where only 1 week I will be, and you know, no emails, no nothing. Then the following week I do have to work remotely, but at least I'm excited to do like a 2-week trip that I've never done. So
that's super cool, Wes. I was surprised that you didn't mention
New Orleans.
Yeah, New Orleans.
I forgot about New Orleans. I can't believe it.
I guess it wasn't really a New big Orleans. Impact, huh?
No, it definitely was
not memorable.
Tried to transfer my LLC to New Orleans as soon as I got back.
Damn.
I love New Orleans so much.
Okay, Freddie, what about you?
I'm going to see Masego.
Okay.
In Orlando at the House of Blues.
We'll be right there with you.
So, yeah, me, Tony, and a couple other people going.
Oh, that's
going
to be good.
What do you think about the album?
Like you, I did not like the venue at all. You got to get there early. I'm old. I got a weak bladder. I ain't about to be in front of the stage. Every 5 minutes, be like, I got to pee.
Let me ask if you this old yet. Because I've thought about this. And I'm like, nah, Bada, that's just too old. But I have honestly thought about bringing like one of them decollapsible chairs. Like the little stools.
I was mentioning that to Tony. He was like, you can't bring that in there. I was like, I mean, you know. What if I tell him I got like a knee thing?
You're not
I got a back injury from 9 to 5.
I served, you know. Oh, okay.
But the whole time, because I went to see Ari Lennox, and I had to lean on the wall, man. I couldn't take it. But
this is definitely a millennial podcast. Yeah. Right here. Oh my God.
Elder millennials.
I almost got my ass beat. Thank God Freddie got in the way. There was these ladies from New York, you know, because they were talking with these girls already. It was a group of older ladies. They were excited to see Ari Lennox. And one of the friends was leaning on, like a balcony stool thingy, right? And so the lady's leaning. There's enough room for, like, at least 3 or 4 people to be there. But the lady's there by herself. They ended up moving. So I'm like, all right, cool. We'll just hang out here, whatever. Yo, the lady comes back in my face. She's like, get out the corner. Get out of here. Get out of here. This is my girl spot. She was from New York. It's my girl spot. Get the fuck out of here. And I'm like, why are you in my face? Like, she was going to get it. I was ready.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm in another city. Don't nobody know me here. We could get this popping. And Freddie was like, no, y'all need to let them.
We already know what the news was going
to
say. Local.
I was like, I assessed the situation. She was about 10 deep. I'm like, we about to, all of us about to get our ass beat.
Tony was like, yeah, I'm going to run. Yeah. Tony was like, it's going to be y'all too. And I'm just running. So
that's the least surprising right there. Like, if you're in a group and Tony with you, you might as well just retract one. You're like, well, Tony's gonna call the cops and ambulance.
At least you got
that to look forward to. So all you gotta do is fight for 5 good minutes before the cops show up.
Well, the crazy thing was, she was like, I've been holding this spot. You don't see this napkin here?
Wow.
It's still here.
Wow.
The ultimate concert.
But I was like, I don't want 0 problems. You know, my back already hurting.
Freddie, so what's been the best live music you've experienced this year?
I got to see, I'm going to fuck her name up.
Sudan Archives.
Shout out Winterland.
And that was Winterland Fest. Shout out to
Matt Shaw.
Matt Shaw. My man Matt Shaw.
Friend of the pod.
And Glenn and Lena. But she put on an amazing show, man. It was super dope, super interactive. She got into the stage. She had the violins going. And I look forward to see what she does next.
I was really jealous seeing all the videos the next day. That was a weekend I did terrible planning. My brother was in town, the kids, so I just did not plan right. But goddamn, them videos of Sudan's performance looked amazing. I guess I was completely oblivious to the fact that she plays a lot of instruments, but is a real badass behind a violin. You know, I haven't seen a badass violin player since the days of the hip hop
Mary violin. Girl. I don't remember her name.
Curly blonde.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We all know who we talk. We know. You know. If you know, you know. Right. All right, Adrian. Yeah. Same question to you, man. Best live music you've experienced this year,
Freddie. If you didn't mention, I was going to mention it. Sudan Archives at Winterland was amazing. And then we're going to go see the Wu and Nas. In
September though, yeah.
Yes, sir. And before that though, I want to see if I make it out to Mac Ayers in Orlando, because I think he's coming to Orlando or to Fort Lauderdale. So definitely, those are the events that I want to see.
Blue Eyed Soul at its finest.
Yeah. Hopefully, and yo, I might have to push the gas on that one, because I'm pretty sure at the show he'll have merch and vinyl and all this.
Probably, yeah.
I hope so.
They're gonna tax, but I need it.
So I feel like I have to make up for such a slow year of live music for me. I don't think I've experienced any live music outside of like going to a bar and they've got like, you know, Mass might have been spinning or something. But like outside of the normal, I haven't gotten experience any live music. So I'm a little jealous about this. But I bought tickets for that Nas and Wu show in September, which feels like a long ways away.
Sure.
But then I got thinking like, Botter, you should plan like a trip to go see something. And right now, the Roots Picnic, I feel like, is a bucket list for, especially for us, right?
Yes.
100,000%.
Like, the Roots Picnic, it feels like that's the vibe we're already on. So why not go to a festival with other people like
it?
Oh
my God, yeah.
And I'm looking at the lineup, and I won't lie, this year's lineup, I've seen better from them, but I'm still pretty interested. So it's taking place in June. They've got Miss Lauryn Hill celebrating the 25th anniversary of the Miseducation.
But will she show up?
She'll show up on June 5th. And it's like, the weekend. Diddy and the Roots, which, won't lie, I'm a little interested by that as a headliner. Diddy and the Roots.
Yeah.
Dave Chappelle, I think he's doing like a comedy show. Little Uzi Vert. Ari Lennox, of course. I'm also very interested by this podcast stage.
They've got
Charlamagne is going to be there. Angela Yee, Questlove Supreme. So I feel like a Roots Picnic would be a good.
How can we get Next Spin on there?
Right? I swear.
Yeah, we're going to work on it.
That is a dringle.
We're going to work on it.
That would be amazing. Yo, please.
Let's get it popping.
Goals.
Manifest it.
All right, well, let's go ahead and get our show started for this month. You know, our listeners have been waiting like a month for a new episode, so we got to come correct. Everyone's going to raise another. I'm going to do another toast to go ahead and get us started. Raise your glasses in the air to another episode of The Next Spin and to our gracious and humble host, our guest, Wes, right?
Toast. Thank you. And to the host as well.
And to the host. Hell yeah. Talk your shit, bro.
Great hospitality.
Appreciate it. Thank you. You spinheads, welcome back for another spin. This is episode 21. All right, this is our 21st. We're 21.
Oh,
we're legal.
We're adults.
This is our legal drinking age episode. Right. Uh-huh. It's also our second episode recorded this year. This is also our second meetup of the year. And if you're new to the show, welcome to the Next Spin podcast. This is the best place to hear monthly conversations about different music genres, record collecting, and personal stories from music lovers like us, all right? We're some big-time music lovers. My name is Badr, and I am hosting the crew today at my house, right? It was finally my turn to have the crew over and pick a theme. And I decided for my turn that today's theme, we were going to talk about artwork. We were going to talk about artwork, album covers, some of our favorite album covers from our personal collections. And this episode marks our first fan email that we've ever gotten.
Yes! All right,
we'll be reading our first fan mail. Big shout out to T-Mix. Definitely use some snaps for T-Mix on that. Which, by the way, I'll need one of y'all to pull it up so I can read it. But we'll be reading that in the later half of the show. Speaking of the crew, I am joined by the usual suspects that make this show possible. Starting off, we've got our acclaimed and newly retired, all right, radio personality extraordinaire, Miss Yaya Love is here with us.
Hola, gracias very much, gracias. No autograph.
How you feeling about retirement?
It's funny because as soon as I retired, iHeart hit me up, Cox hit me up, they're like, the NPR hit me up. So, of course, I'm retiring from like it being my career. I still will be doing some stuff here and there, but I feel good. I think it was time. People were like, how can you retire when you're on your peak? Mm-hmm. But you
that's when you retire.
You gotta leave them wanting more. I got something big coming up next year. I can't talk about it yet, but I'm really excited about what's coming up. And you know, you just gotta be ready to go with the flow with life. And so for all of our listeners, like, I challenge you guys to change that chapter and start a new one.
I like it. And toss the mic back to Freddie. All right, speaking of sharing a mic with Yaya is the, you know what, I had best voice of the podcast. But our special guest today might give him a run for his money.
It's in contention now.
But in regards to our core crew, he's definitely got the best voice of the podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, we got Mr. Freddie Quiet Storm Douglas here with us. We're going to give it up, Freddie. What up, Freddie? How you doing?
I ain't speaking today. You know, this meeting.
I'm just sucking up to the whole guest, right? This is how we keep our guests coming back. All right, holding down the other mic, of course, is the Don Dada himself, Mr. Adrian Ross, ladies and gentlemen.
Salute. What's going on,
Adrian?
Y'all?
How you doing?
Good, man. Just living.
Thank you for coming through.
Of course.
All right, and joining us this week, our first guest of the year, our first guest for Next Spin of 2023. He is a man with an eye for timeless imagery, which makes sense, which is perfect for this theme since it's about album covers and artwork. He's one of the most talented photographers in the city, and he's also a podcaster himself. He co-hosts the Project and Reflect podcast, a podcast for creatives by creatives. Big shout-outs to his co-host, Mr. Flash the Samurai, with accolades, right? I'm saying, right?
Accolades.
Yeah. With accolades out the way, let's go ahead and welcome Rakim to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being a guest today, man.
Absolutely.
Actually, you've sat through a couple of, I think one or two of our meetups or whatnot, but this is your first time behind the mic.
First time. Mm-hmm.
How's your experience so far? How was it actually having records to play this go around?
It felt very inclusive, and it made me more intentional about the way that I listen to music, but also investing in music. So, yeah, I really appreciate being in y'all's space, people that invest in music the way that y'all do, and artists all across the city.
I feel like you're someone that could go to a monster truck rally and leave with a life lesson.
That's love.
I feel like so. You leave a monster truck rally like, you know, I'm really going to be more in tune with big tires. And no, that's beautiful.
I hope so.
And real quick, I'm going to give you a chance
the
to.
The art behind the mullet, you know what I mean?
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right. That's better. That's better. All right, Rob, I'm going to give you, I'm going to have links to your podcast, Project and Reflect, but give you a quick chance to plug it in. I know that you guys are starting up season two, or currently recording season two right now, right?
Yeah, right.
When's it come out? At the moment.
I want to say in about 4 more weeks.
And what topics are y'all discussing?
Today we talked about relationships and purpose.
Oh, God.
Ooh.
Yeah, it got deep.
Some powerful stuff.
The opener got
Lord
deep.
Lord
have
mercy.
When are you going to have Yaya on there as a guest? I think
y'all
she
need Yaya and Francesca. Invite both.
Ooh.
Right.
That'll be good and that'll be interesting.
Francesca almost had to throw them hands at that concert.
You know, you guys had Francesca on an episode one time. Remember the time it was here at your house, I think, when I had the hiccups.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that episode Francesca almost came out.
But no, yeah, right, you gotta have Francesca and Yaya on. Yeah, she's in a different phase in her life, you know?
We'll have them both come on the same season.
There we go. Yeah. There we go. All right, and a quick little shout out, honorary shout outs to, of course, Mr. Tony Smilajic. He is over there in the corner taking some, he's actually taking this episode's episode photo. So the awesome photo that you'll see is because of him. He's over there. And of course, our in-home studio audience, guys, we're going to give a round of applause. We got Adrian, we got Kelly, we got Mrs. Ross as well, Sabine in the building.
Yes, sir.
Oh, and of course, the official Next Spin animal mascot, Mr. Mambo himself, all right?
Yay.
He's named after music, Mambo.
Yeah. Number
AKA
five.
Yaya's dog. Before we get these shows started, let me go ahead and knock some dust off the wax. You know, I've got these very small favors to ask all of you listeners before we get things going, right? You enjoy this show for free. It's the very least you could do for us, all right? If you haven't listened to any of our previous episodes, go ahead and do yourselves a favor, right? And check out our back catalog of episodes. Last month, we celebrated love in the music that make us feel it. So check that episode out. That was our Valentine's Day special. Also, check out music from this episode and the songs that we mentioned in our official Next Spin playlist. A big shout out to Adrian and Sabina. Sabina was the one that gave us the idea. Adrian is the music steward for the Spotify playlist and the Apple Music one. So
this
we've got
correct.
An official playlist on both major DSPs. We'll have a link to those to the both of those in the show notes. And last but not least, if you're proud to be called a spinhead, goddammit, let the rest of the world know. Leave us a 5-star rating review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. It is the easiest way that you can help us spread the word, and it gets us one step closer to our goal, which was originally interviewing Beyonce, but now it's landing on the Roots Picnic lineup, all right? So we need them.
Shifting target.
Yeah, we need them reviews and ratings to get some attention, all right? So do that for us. With that out the way, we're going to go ahead and get started on our main topic, which was today's vinyl meetup theme. And that was a focus on album artwork, album covers, and really just the artwork that behind records. I think it's safe to say for all of us in this room, we all have at least one record framed on our walls. I think it kind of comes with being, you know, just record collectors, but also wanting to like throw in a little taste of like who we are in our homes and things like that. And I think that's a major part of or appeal of buying records is, for me, I guess personally speaking, is the fact that you're owning like this pretty decent sized piece of artwork, right? Like, I think a record is very versatile, but you're also getting this bigger picture, like literally a bigger picture of the album cover. And I feel like, you know, for me, that there's an experience in that and holding this piece of artwork, you know, being conscious about playing this piece of artwork, setting the vinyl. I think it's all part of the record playing experience. But the theme also kind of, I was also motivated to pick this theme, and Tony's not here to talk about it, but I think he had reached out to the group and was asking for like, hey, what are some of the best album covers with like photography and headshots? So, you know, as I'm looking for all these different albums to send him, I think he was writing something up for the JME article. You know, it was just scrolling through all of these photos and like, damn, my Apple Music alone, the library, is kind of like a mini little gallery, right? Like, these are all songs and albums I've added because I like them. And just being able to scroll through, I think you kind of sometimes, you know, I guess, long story short, I wanted to put an emphasis on the artwork that comes on these records. Because even though they say you can't judge a book by its cover, I know probably for you guys, you know, having dug through so many different record stores, sometimes when you're digging through records, sometimes the artwork speaks to you. Sometimes you just go off the artwork alone. And, you know, I think that's an important facet to, you know, kind of highlight today. What records did you bring? I mean, we'll have them in these show notes, but if you guys want to share any anecdotes about why you brought your records or whatever they may be, I want to hear them. Wes, what records did you bring?
Who is Jill Scott? We're naming all three of them. Mm-hmm. Who is Jill Scott? Shit, why is it escaping?
Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Earth, Wind, and Fire. And the last one was Amy Winehouse. Yeah. Back to Black.
Anyone in particular, do you feel, which one of the three you feel perfectly encapsulates today's theme and why you brought it?
I'd have to say Who is Jill Scott.
What's right up now with that album cover?
Just the, I'm losing the word right now, but just the mystery in it. And then on the back, showing like the roots, things outside. So the fact that like her face is turned away from the camera. And then on the back, the little three photos, I want to say one was like her neighborhood and some other things that just allude to who she is and where she's from. I feel like I'm at the same point in my career. You know, not upfront with it, but everything that encapsulates who you are. Yeah.
All right. Well said. Freddie, you had, I'm going to say you probably had my, you know what? You always have a killer set, but I really
just,
like.
Just going.
Yeah, you have my favorite. Is it safe to say, Freddie had the best set out of all of us?
I don't know if it's safe to say it, but you know what I mean? Yeah, so if that's how you feel about it.
Thank you. Freddie gave it a look.
Host decides who wins.
What I will say, no, it's a democracy here. I do want to hear what everyone's favorite set was, but Freddie, what I'm saying is I'm giving you your flowers because once again, you took the theme and then you applied there was an inner theme within the theme. Yeah. Go ahead and give us your records. What records did you bring and why did you bring them?
Yeah, so
Why'd you look at Wes so hard like that? I'm the voice of the show.
I feel like Peter Quill when he was talking to Thor.
I'm the captain. Why are you talking like that?
But no, I brought Beyonce, Dangerously in Love.
Mm-hmm.
Classic. I also brought Rihanna, which is an artwork by herself. She's a piece of art.
100%.
I brought the Loud joint. And the last one I brought was Cali Uchis.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. the album is in Spanish. You want to pronounce that for me?
Yeah.
Sin Miedo. No.
Sin Miedo.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That.
And give us, what was the logic behind bringing those three to apply it to the theme?
Like I said, I like to challenge myself. So I, I was getting to that too.
Don't steal
it's Women's History Month.
Hey!
So I wanted
to talk about it.
So I decided to bring all women portraits.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Excellent. See, that's why I'm giving Freddie the flowers today, because it's such a well thought out theme.
The flowers.
And the execution. The execution. That Rihanna album cover. It's fantastic. Fantastic. All right, Adrian, what about you, man? What was your records and why'd you bring them?
All right, I brought My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, Yay. Yeah. Oh, I don't have them with me, no. I know. I'm failing.
Tony's taking the photos.
Yeah. Tony's got the photos for y'all tuning in right now. But I brought that one because, you know, it's dope. I brought Hiatus Coyote, Mood Valiant. It's a very fire album and cover. And then I brought, what was the third one? K.O.D. J. Cole, because I like the message in the album cover.
Okay, all right. So my records, which I can't show off, but I brought Mac Miller Faces, because abstract body of artwork. This was also around the time that he was very heavy into psychedelics and drugs. So I think when you consider that, and then you look at the album cover, it makes a lot of sense. It's like, you know, it's supposed to be a portrait of his face in very abstract, broken up ways. And it's one of those like pieces of, it really is a piece of art to me where the more you look at it, the more you start noticing things. And I think that's some of the funnest pieces of artwork to engage with. The other album I brought was Donny Hathaway live album, because that to me is such an iconic photograph. I think they've reused that photograph like multiple times. I think like in his best of album, it's the same photograph. But, you know, once again, there's something about photography for being used from live shows to album covers. It's something about carrying that spirit into that body of work and that product. like you, you know, it's the next best thing to feeling like, oh, I was there, you know, and sometimes that photography is the next thing it needs. So Donny Hathaway live album. And then the third one was more so an example of like really good a product design. And it was Coal Mine Records, Soulful Slab Volume 1, which is a compilation of all, a bunch of songs of theirs that they put out, which for them is probably like a big deal. They're a really young and small record label that deals with like smaller artists. But, you know, they're trying to bring and pay homage to like that 60s and 70s soul sound in a more modern setting. And that album cover is, you know, a bunch of 45s in a row together. But, you know, it's a cool looking artwork. And it's the actual track list in the order it is. You just got to look it up. This is definitely an episode. You should probably have Google Images handy. So I want to hear from you guys. Maybe Adrian, you're going to kick us off. What artistic elements do you think make for a good album cover? Like, what do you find yourself gravitating towards?
Well, for me, man, like, you know, it goes back to something like you were just saying about like appreciating the art and music. It's a component of that, but art has like a lot of different facets to it. So for me, it depends, right? Like, there's no one thing that I can like glob onto and say, oh, this is, you know, what makes dope art. But like, for example, you know, one of the questions I'm going to let the cat out of the bag is basically like, what's one of your favorite album covers? And The Roots, Things Fall Apart is a dope album cover. And it touches on like politics. It touches on a bunch of different stuff. And then the music itself doesn't necessarily speak to specific political things going on. But that's just an example, right? Like Kendrick Lamar, I'm just thinking of the album where he's in front of the White House with like a mob of people.
The Pimp a Butterfly.
Yeah, it's another one. So I don't know. For me, I just, you know, striking things. And so that's why, like you were saying, like, yo, if I collect these vinyls, like vinyl, sorry, Nick, I'm going to put it up so you can, you know, it can evoke something out of you. You know what I mean? So I'll put it up.
Records, you get more bang for your buck, right? Like, not only you get good music, you know, not only you get good music, but you also get, you know, like artwork built in itself. Like I said, if you wanted to frame it, you could. It's just a versatile, to me, I think, medium for music at that. Freddie, what are some of your favorite, like, if I had to ask you for three album covers that come to mind as being your favorite, what would you say?
Oh, don't ask me that.
So many.
For me, you know, I always, because what I was looking at, what I wanted to bring, and I didn't quite go in that direction, but originally I was going to go with the 70s, like, portrait type vibes, because the 70s was when black artists were actually able to start putting themselves on the records. And because before, you had to like put a white person on there or some other random picture. So for me, that's what direction I was going. But as far as records that I feel, it's like what I was saying earlier when I actually picked my records, I don't know shit about art. Adrian said the same thing. Yep. I'm like, I usually just, if it gravitates towards me, I fuck with it. If it speaks to me, it just speaks to me.
And you know what? And just to jump in there, just to answer your question, because you asked me the same thing and I didn't really answer it. But I think for me, like, I'll tell you, the abstract art does jump out to me.
Okay.
Like, if it's abstract, like, that's something I'll definitely gravitate to. And like bold patterns and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
It's like the pictures I chose from the album I got, it was, I tried looking up the photographers and everything. I was just like, I don't know anything about this, but I could see like where the photographer was going in the message. I don't know how to explain it. I'm not, like I said,
I don't know shit about art. That's what we brought Wes on here.
That's right. We got the expert on to talk all about this.
Speaking of, I was curious, Wes, from a very artistic person, and someone I deem, you know, a very high quality photographer, what artistic elements grab you when it comes to like an album cover or something like that? Does it differ? Does it matter if it's an album cover or just art, period? Or do you have certain things that like speak to you more when it's dealing with music?
Right. Well, music specifically, I like how the communication between any type of art, how it draws me to artists that I might have not gravitated to because of like the genre or whatever. It might have been hidden. But ironically, the favorite album cover that I chose was Bobby Womack's Communication album or vinyl. Because of the way that it translates, just emotion And that's a lot of art that I'm like drawn to, is the way that emotion is translated to whoever's looking at it.
Yeah, yeah. What about you? I want to hear when you think of like all time favorite album covers or iconic album covers. What comes to mind for you?
Definitely the abstract art ones. I was just talking about that. We just went on that New Orleans trip. We went to a couple of record shops and I regret not getting it. And that's, I was just on my phone trying to see the artist if I could find it. But it was a jazz girl. And the reason why it attracted me was because of the album. Like, it was colorful. I love colors. I love anything that pops out. It makes me think, like, why did the artist choose that? Like, I love thinking of the art, the process of the artist, of like, why did you choose that? Like, why did we recently, a couple months ago, we went to another like Winterland Presents event, smaller event. Remember that French band? There was this French band. They had really cool. God, I wish I'm the worst. Sorry, guys. I apologize. But they were talking about that. They had this artist that it was a friend that used to just draw for them. And now that they've, you know, they're becoming little by little bigger, like they've kept the same guy. And so like they just do cool illustrations. And I like that. I like that it makes you think, like, why did the artist choose it? How does it correlate with the album, with the energy of the album? I hate sometimes when albums don't go with the covers, like doesn't go with the CD, but when it does, it's perfect. Like Drake's, was it Drake where he's sitting?
Oh, Take Care.
Take Care. Yeah. Like that image goes perfect with, yeah, Pearl and Oysters is the band that I'm talking about that we saw. And they have an illustrator do their artwork. And I think that's cool. I like when artists take time to really think about the artwork of the vinyl, especially vinyl.
Yeah. And you know, somebody else that's big on that, Rock Marciano. Him, West Side Gun too, like these guys, like I think is the juxtaposition of like the you know, the street dude, you know, that you wouldn't think.
Some highbrow art.
Yeah, with highbrow art attached to it. Mm. I love that shit. Like it does it. You know
that's
what I mean?
Point.
So Rock Marcy, like if you want to get into it, like I'll tell you my three right now.
Oh, but wait, but I also like about vinyls is that it's not just like a CD. Well, CD, some CDs do that, but vinyls, sometimes you get a special booklet with it, a special like pictures that you won't get, especially if it's a special edition. Sometimes the vinyl is a different color. Like that's what I love about vinyl artwork.
And I think that separates like just a good, just being a record to it being like a really good piece of art or like a good product too, right? Yeah. Well said, investment, where it goes like they think about everything about like that. Just that physical media. It's more than just putting the record on, but you get a booklet. You might get maybe like the lyrics. I think one of y'all had like Polaroid pictures in there. Adrian's, I don't want to steal your thunder, but like scratch and sniff stickers that came with your record. You know, it's like, but it's all branded the same. It don't feel like, you know, it's like just thrown in random. It feels like a good continuation.
I like that because, I mean, if you think about it, people that really do collect vinyl, when we open the vinyl, we're going to sit down and when we open it, we take our time to open. We make sure it's the right side. We open it gently. We take out the stuff and we read everything on it. So it's not just like we're just opening it and throwing it on there. We're actually going through it. And I think that artists and the record labels, the artists and the record labels, they know that record collectors, they don't want just a vinyl with, you know, they want more than substance. That. They wanted to make it an experience when you open the vinyl.
Thank you for putting that away because it was so hard to do this. And that's what I was telling you when I first got in, I was like, dude, this is a tough project, man. Because like you say, yeah.
I think a big part of it, and I don't mean to just step in, but we've been inundated with probably millions at this point in our lives,
has
right?
To be. Like yeah, for how old we are.
Yeah. Damn, Adrian, we're just feeling my back. We're just feeling right. But like, think about how many album covers you've seen, and if you are to look at each one as its own body of artwork, like you are experienced in that regard. Like, and you don't even know it. Like Freddie, for example, he's saying like, I don't really know much about art, but I think you could challenge that because you've been inundated with seeing so much artwork and experiencing that artwork too. I think like maybe just you can't formulate words for it, but I think even at the subconscious level, like you do have an appreciation for artwork. When you consider how much time, money, and thought goes into making artwork for an album. Like,
it's meant to be consumed. Yeah. Like, it's meant for somebody to spend some time with it. You know what I mean?
I guess what I'm getting at is that there's no way that you can't be, you know, people that have listened and enjoyed music for as long as we have and not also be somewhat, have an eye for art as well, right, or an appreciation.
You're like the Rick Rubin of vinyl collecting, bro. Right. You know, he's like, I don't know what makes good music, but I know it's good music.
When he sees it, he knows it. But Adrian, give us this list real quick. I'm curious.
All right. So again, to that point, I guess I threw it all out there, but Rock Marciano has a dope album cover with the Elephant Man's Bones is the name of the album. Is abstract. It's kind of similar to the Mac Miller album that you showed, where it's a really colorful, like really bold patterns and stuff like that. So definitely check that out. I don't know, maybe it'll create something that people can see these things. And then West Side Gun, speaking of West Side Gun, this guy's like, he's trying to be like a fashion mogul. He's working with all the high end fashion houses or whatever. And Pray for Paris has a dope album cover where it's basically like, it's like he took like the artist, well, as a matter of fact, it's just literally a screenshot or a clip of a very famous artist whose name I'm blanking on right now. But it's like, it's a very graphic picture. This is like from like 1700s, 1800s, something like that. And it's like cutting the head off of somebody, and it's supposed to signify something really cool. But anyways, West Side Gun's Pray for Paris album, fire. And then again, The Roots, Things Fall Apart album. And I like that because it's a political thing, and you know what I mean?
It is very challenging to try to, you know, talk about artwork and this be such an audio podcast, right? Like, it really should be a video. But, and I'm hoping that people, when they hear this, they Google some of these records. But I want to share mine real quick, and then I have a question for you guys. And matter of fact, I'll ask it now because I want you guys thinking about it. But think about the first time or the first piece of artwork that you bought that made you feel really good about buying a piece of art. I want you guys to start thinking that, and then I want to hear it. But I want to share three of my favorite album covers. I'm sure if I sat down, I could make a way more comprehensive list that's actually in particular order. But these are ones that I had no problem kind of coming to mind. Marvin Gaye, Live from the Palladium. I don't know if you guys have seen that album cover, but it's a photography of Marvin holding the mic, and he's kind of yelling, and he's got like this very broad stance. And it's one of my favorite ones because it's a cover for a live show, right? Like, you kind of missed the point because you weren't there, but this is the next best thing for you to experience this live album. And when I see that album cover, not only is it a great album to listen to and you feel like you're there, but that album cover just draws you in. You feel like, damn, Marvin really put everything on the stage and I wasn't even there. I'm just going by the cover. I'm also going to say, I actually brought it in here. I brought some examples. A Tribe Called Quest, Midnight Marauders. Yes. I think this is one that most listeners probably don't even need to Google.
Absolutely not.
It's a classic album cover, right? But it does a lot, right? So they've got it's got great branding. They've got their little character, the red, green, and black cartoon character of theirs. But then in the background, you've got basically a photo collage of a bunch of like heads of musicians and other rappers that were big at the time. This album came out in 93, and a lot of people consider this like the beginning of the golden age of rap. So when you go through this, you're seeing like names that were like very popular then, like Ice-T, De La Soul is on here, The Native Tongues, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
But it's fun because you're going through it and you're trying to pick out like, oh, I recognize that. Oh, I wonder who that is. And I think it works in a lot of ways of encapsulating like this moment in time and also making it still feel like Tribe Called Quest, right?
I'm on there too.
Yeah, that's right. Adrian is on the back. And then I'll say,
That's how old Adrian is.
That's right.
I don't got it here with me, but I think a modern selection I'll say is Tyler, the Creator's Flower Boy album cover. I think is also a beautiful example of like an illustrated album cover that's a little mysterious. You're not really sure what you're getting into, but you just know. When you're done with the album and you look back at the cover, you're like, oh, that fits perfectly. Like Flower Boy. I guess if I had to make a formula for what makes for a good album cover for Botter, at least, right? I think I need to be able to look at an album cover and get the theme over the overall vibe, right? I don't want to be surprised. I don't want to be like, well, this is not, you know, it needs to capture some sort of a vibe of what the album's going to be about, but it doesn't need to be too on the nose. Like, I don't need to be like spoon fed what it's going to be about. I need it just like enough mystery to kind of like pique my interest. And then I think it needs to stand on its own too. Like, can I frame this and never, you know, listen to the record. Can I frame it and can it stand on its own and as a piece of artwork? I think that makes for a good album cover. Those are some of my favorite album covers, and I think why I'm drawn to them. Back to my question. I think I've given you guys plenty of time to think about my question. Wes, I'm going to go with you. What has been like your favorite piece of art you've ever purchased?
Vinyl-wise, it would definitely have to be Drunk.
And that doesn't even have to be vinyl-wise.
Not even
vinyl. I should have emphasized that. I want to hear like the first time that you went and bought a piece of artwork, whether it was expensive or maybe your first quote-unquote big boy purchase or grown-up purchase, but like that one piece of art that you bought that made you feel proud to own art.
Mm. I'd have to say, honestly, probably one of Malk Jack's photos, one of the first photos I ever bought from a local photographer. And to like be coming up on the rise of, you know, or, you know, just trying to establish my career, knowing somebody personally and to purchase something from them personally, photograph, aside from like how the photograph felt and just to know like behind the scenes what that means to make that purchase and to put it in your house and to be able to explain that story, to pass it on, just felt like a personal time capsule. So yeah, I'd have to say that would be mine.
Well said. Adrian, I know that you buying the house, your first house and all that, and, you know, getting into records, I know that you have been on a new journey as well, wanting to buy original artwork and whatnot. So I toss that question to you.
Thank you. Yeah, so, man, that's exactly it. I'm trying to really catch up to y'all, man. You guys are my art muses, and I see how y'all do in y'all's beautiful living spaces, and I want to replicate that. But locally, art that I've bought, Elena Olander, I bought a piece from her, and local artist. I'm trying to put art up in the wall in the house that supports local, like where I'm from, and to see her piece up there just makes me proud that I could first off afford to do that, and then secondly, I mean, it's just a beautiful piece of art that we can have in the house. We got a nice little frame for it and everything, so I hope to do more of that. And yeah, man, that's the piece that I like.
Good stuff. All right, Freddie, what about you? Of your beautiful ass house?
Yeah, seriously,
you guys have.
Well, thank you, Bonner. I appreciate it.
Well designed house, well laid out, well curated. A lot of interesting to see on the wall. But what's your proudest art buying moment?
You know, starting out, I didn't really even get into art. I would just buy things from like the thrift store. It caught my eye. I put it up, but I didn't realize I wasn't really curating art until Tony started like a series of photography of people with art collections. And I was like, well, have you not seen my wall? Have you not seen my wall? And he's like, well, you know, you ain't really got no real art. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I got like blah, 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 blah. And not to discredit the art that I have, but he was saying like, you know, you just have some random shit on the wall. So he really influenced me to invest into art. And so one of the pieces I spent money on, because I would never spend like more than $20 on a piece. Facts. But now I'm like, all right, I will spend something in my budget to get something good. And one of the first pieces I bought was something from my sister, Chris Lanice. And I have that hanging very proudly in the middle of my art wall at my house. So,
damn, that's beautiful. Leave it to Tony to give you some tough ass love, like.
Yeah, he's like, you ain't got shit on the wall. I'm like, one of yours on the wall. Yeah.
Typical That's Tony. Good.
All right, That's yeah, funny. Yeah. Sorry, same question to you, yeah, yeah.
Man.
Yeah, can I say that you are so good at pretending like a camera is not in your face. Like, you're so genuine with it. If it was in front of mine, I'd be like, ah!
Shout out to everyone that's on our live right now.
Hi, everybody.
We got 8 people watching.
Hey. Send us emails. Send us
we
emails.
We got 10 people watching. Shout out.
Is one of them Questlove?
Maybe. So one of the first art pieces that I have collected was working with Art Republic and Celso Gonzalez, who is a world-renowned artist from Puerto Rico, but known for his mosaic art piece. He's done work with Spike Lee, recently J-Lo. He's done a couple of documentaries, and we're blessed to have some amazing artwork here from him. So I have a piece from him, but the first artwork that I actually bought with my money that I'm proud of would be Dustin Harewood, his cowboy That was for his first print that he actually released.
Fire.
He only released, I think, like...
From his Black Cowboy.
Yeah, from the, I think he only released like...
150? About 150 of them?
Yeah, and I have number 15. Ooh. So I'm mad I ain't between the first 10, though. But, and I have it proudly hung on my wall. So, and I just recently bought another piece from Epi Uno, from an artist from Boston. So I'm excited about the artwork. You know, I think it's good that we support local artists and just artists that we like in general.
When I bought my first Dustin Harewood piece, being a student of his and a friend of his for many years, that was a big prideful moment. So I'll save that one and say, on a music-related tip, if you look to where Wes is sitting in the corner, you see that Biggie and that Jay-Z photo? So the photographer's name is Jonathan Mannion. Jonathan Mannion is like a big name in photography, and especially in hip-hop. He has... photographed actually Jay-Z's first album cover. That's actually where he got to start. The DMX album covers, he's photographed those. He's done a lot of iconic hip-hop photography. Outkast, Lauren London. I'm sorry, not Lauren London. Oh my God. Lauren Hill, thank you so much. But yeah, he's done a lot of iconic hip-hop photography. And I actually bought both of those. Like, he doesn't do small pieces. This motherfucker does, like, you know, $10,000 and up, you know, like big pieces. And I just could never afford them. But one day he was like running smaller prints and these things are going quick. And, you know, they're small, but I'm really proud of them because it comes from the guy that makes them. It was like a limited run. And that Biggie photo, I don't think like that Biggie photo is kind of like a rare photo. Like it's not really, you don't really see it around a lot. And of course I got Jay-Z's first album cover photography on there. They're small pieces, like I said, because all I could afford was them prices. But I felt really proud that I got to, I don't know, like have that connection where it's like, damn, the dude that photographed some of my favorite album covers, you know, was doing, you know, looked out for the little guy, like appreciators like me that probably could never dream to afford like the real, you know, original prints. But I got to own a little piece of like music history, I think. So,
oh, man.
Yeah, right.
Thank you so much. All right. Let's go ahead and talk about our favorite songs this week. All right, let's get into our backspin segment. And I'm proud to say, by the way, I'm proud to say, and I think, Freddie, you're going to need the headphones for this too. I'm proud to say that we have a new sound bump for this segment that I feel really
buddy.
Proud of. So for all
I'll
of
be,
you...
I'll be the judge of that.
We will be retiring our classic...
That sucks!
We will be retiring the classic That Sucks sound bite. And adopting a new one. But I want to go ahead and introduce a segment for all of our first-time listeners. This is the Backspin segment. So this is the segment where we're going to talk about that one song that we have just been glued to lately, okay? It could be a new song. It could be an old song we're discovering for the first time. It could be whatever whatever it is. But it's a song that we just cannot stop putting on repeat. It's one that we got to keep bringing it back, like Young Jeezy would say.
Bring it back.
Bring it back. Hey.
Let's go.
Okay.
I like that.
Okay, I'm that man. Then.
Okay, okay. Well, yo, I'll start off.
Bring it back.
No, it's all good. Now, so basically, Masego, Rakim, you talked about this at the very beginning. Nobody mm-hmm. answered you.
Yeah.
But the Masego album is fire.
It is.
I haven't had a chance to give it. Like, I like to give it a couple of run-throughs before mm-hmm. I actually, like, pick a joint off of that, but that is a phenomenal album. If you're listening, you should definitely go check out Masego's latest work. But in the theme with today's meetup, George Bondo, West Side Gun.
I can't give a shit who you be, where you broke from. I had to build shit. I had to build shit.
Okay.
Bring it back.
Bring it back.
That's a song that's got Adrian like that.
Yes.
All right, Freddie, what about you? What's the groovy tune that's got you saying bringing it back?
You know what? I'm going to go with, since this was a big movie over the weekend, I got a chance to listen to the soundtrack from Creed 3. Did you see the movie, Bob?
I did. And that movie is phenomenal.
Okay, I've not seen either any of them.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, I feel like that's a movie.
I haven't either.
Three is so good. You don't, look, it's a boxing movie, all right? There's only so much story you need.
But the soundtrack is really dope. It was done by Dreamville. Yeah.
Shout out to Cole.
So the joint on there that I was feeling the most was from Dreamville and Earth Gang called Jack, featuring Buddy and Aunt Clement.
Okay.
Has a real like ASAP vibe. That whole crew, real New York type shit. Yeah, I feel like I don't talk about hip hop enough on here. So. I'm always on the R&B tip.
Freddie's picks are always, and I'm gonna go to pick Jablabla from Jablabla, and it'll be like, but it'd be the grooviest shit ever. I'm like, damn, how do you spell that, Freddie? All right, let's go ahead and hear Freddie's song.
I got it all, Jack. You know where I be? Hey, I do it all, Jack. I do it all, Jack. I do it all, Jack. Don't worry about me.
All right, that was Freddie's pick. Yaya, what about you? What's your backspin joint of the week?
Hola. My song right now is called Play. Play by this artist called Alewaya. I may be pronouncing it wrong because you know I am. How do you say it?
I think it's Alewa, but
there you
knows?
Go. Ale. How do you say it?
Alewa.
There we go. Alewya.
Thank you so much. That's going to be helpful when
there
I
edit. There you go. Uh-huh. It's called Play. And I've been feeling that song, the vibe, the energy, everything. I discovered it this year. It's not from this year. I discovered it this year. And it's been on my playlist. So, yeah, I think people need to get into it.
Wes, I'm excited to hear your pick, man. I'm very curious what type of playlist you've got going on. But what's your backspin song?
I had to go with "Snooze" by SZA.
Okay,
it's had me in a chokehold.
Okay, why so? Because it's not a new song.
It's not.
So why has it got you in a chokehold lately?
It's one of those songs that just takes you somewhere. It keeps you there. Mm. It feels like a plane ticket.
Have y'all heard of this artist called, is it Adi Oasis? Adi Oasis. Okay, y'all are, I don't know, it looks like no for the most part.
Adi Oasis?
Oh, it probably is Audio. Adi Oasis. Adios. Okay,
audio.
Whatever.
Yeah. Look at you today with your hooks on phonics.
I can put the patterns together quickly. I mean, that's
all right. Great. Yeah, I think it's Adi Oasis. but I came across two songs off of this album that just came out this month, March 3rd. R&B soul if you're looking for a genre, but this song in particular is called 460 featuring Aaron Taylor, and as soon as I heard it, it was one of those instances where I was like, I want to share it with the Next Men crew, but I also want to put myself on blast in case one of them already shared it and I'm like, hey, did y'all hear this song yet? And then Adrian's like, bro, I shared that the other day. You know, I didn't want to be caught slipping like, damn,
I feel like that happens a lot between all of us.
We share so much
1,000%,
music. Yeah. We share so much music, sometimes it's easy to be like, oh, that's right, you did share. So the song I'm going to play is by Adi Oasis. It's called 460 featuring Aaron Taylor. And I'd say you would play this while cooking. Like, this is a cooking, your girl walks in, you know, your significant other walks in, and it's just a nice time. It's like, baby, I'm cooking us something good. And you just want to set the mood, all right? So here's 460. Punching the clouds out the window. Punching the clouds, yeah.
Open my eyes and I feel no pain. I liked your inclusive correction.
Yeah, yeah. It's 2023, shit.
Yeah, I feel like y'all would definitely love this album. So check that out. And... oh, I was just about to say, that brings us to the end of the episode, but I forgot. We got our first email to read.
Yay!
I mean, we're an hour into the show, but damn it, we're getting to the email. Can someone bring it up? Oh, here
Bam.
It is.
Yeah,
got you. Yeah. Okay, so this is our first email from a Woo! Listener, and we've been begging for one for the last 2 years, but you know, sometimes it takes time to build that momentum and that trust. You got to build that trust of your listeners, all right? And I get that. But we finally got our first email. And it is from someone that I'm familiar with because they are a very avid supporter of the Shortbox podcast, the other podcast that I do. And it makes me happy that, you know, he's a big music fan and he's listening to the show. He writes in and he says, yo, what up, Next Spin? And he's got the two X's, so he knows the deal. All right, and he continues, since Botter's been ignoring my short box emails and y'all hadn't had any emails yet,
damn,
I thought I'll come through. Thank you for the pity. I love the show. I love the show. Brown snaps. I love the show. He loved the show.
For T-Mix.
And I've been listening since episode 4. My favorite episodes have been Music from the African Diaspora. All right, big shout out to Adrian. That was Adrian's pick.
Come on, y'all.
Followed up by Salsa Night. All right, that was Yaya's pick.
With special guest DJ Poppy Disco. That's really why he made it.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that was why he was a hitter. And Art of the Playlist, which, if I'm not mistaken, was one of mine.
Hey!
I picked that thing. All right, he continues. I really appreciate the different styles / genres of music you've highlighted. My horizons have been thoroughly expanded for real neo soul. A special gracias to Yaya. I'm going to go ahead and try to pronounce it. Special gracias to Yaya por siempre incluir nuestro música latina, which I would assume means thank you for including Latin music into the
mix. Yes!
Because the last time I championed reggaeton to Botter on my other podcast, I was told no es música. I didn't say that for the record. That was Cesar. Just threw him underneath the bus. maybe now that Bad Bunny had the first non-English album ever nominated for Album of the Year, you'll take a listen. Which, he's right. I probably should. I know Botter waits until award season.
All right, calling you out.
Damn. Yes,
but that's the type of rapport I've got with my people.
I love it,
though. They could just, you know, come on my podcast and dog me, you know, just drag me through the mud. All right, he says he's got two albums to champion. One is, help me out here, Adrian, is that Dejate?
Hold on. Oh, Dejate Ver.
Dejate Ver by Chimbala.
Yeah.
And
Raul Alejandro's album, Saturno.
Yeah. Ooh, baby. I was just talking about Raul Alejandro yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, Raul. He is, Bad Bunny right now is number one. Raul Alejandro is right behind him, like chasing him. Like, he's going to be.
He got a track with the Yankee on it.
He got several tracks with Daddy Yankee. Yeah. He has a track with Chris Brown. Yeah. I know. but he is legit killing it. What I like about Raul Alejandro is that he is reggaeton, but he could go hood with it. He could go electric with it. Definitely check it out.
All right. And last but not least, he wraps up his email saying, the short box got me back into buying comics. And now next spin, or same thing for vinyl. So we've also got him back to buying vinyl. He signs out, Hasta la Proxima, Mis Amigos, T-Mix. P.S. Shout out Beyonce. That was her Grammy. And how is Alicia Keys not a singer? Did one of us say that?
I think John said that.
She was bugging.
Don't sit in that.
And
it's all
good. Keep saying it. Listen. Alicia Keys can be, she's a good writer. She's a songwriter. But baby girl, like, you gotta feed them. You gotta feed them chickens, you know, from all them notes that she'd be missing.
I can't play Freddie's soundbite loud enough. That sucks. Do not
bring it back.
Do not bring that take back, right? Do not bring that take back.
Thank you, T-Mix.
Yo, big shout out to T-Mix. Matter of fact, I'm giving him a round of applause for being our first emailer. All right, that's a big milestone. I'm going to put that on your resume, T-Mix, all right? That's a big one. All right, to the rest of you listeners, are you lazy-ass listeners?
Get your shit together. Hey, like
as you can tell by now, this little house juice we got is starting to really hit. Yeah. All right, so all you other listeners that are just enjoying the show for free in the background, please go, write us in, all right? We've been doing 21 episodes. We would love to hear what's been your favorite one, what's been your favorite theme, or even suggestions, all right? We would like to start taking suggestions for some of our vinyl meetups and episodes that we should do. There's only so many music genres and themes that we're going to come up with our own. We want this to be, we want this to be a family affair with our listeners. So we want you to share your thoughts with us by writing in at nextspin@gmail.com, or you can just slide into our Instagram DMs with some recommendations. That pretty much brings us to the end of the pod. That was our theme. That today was, you know, like I said, my month. I wanted to highlight album covers and the art behind the artwork itself. Adrian, you've got the theme and hosting duties next month. Do you care to share what people can expect for that one?
That is correct. I'm going two ways, and I wanted to talk to you guys about it. Either I try to premise it, but I don't know if y'all noticed the all caps when I put the, hey, what genre is this in the text? But I'm thinking, what genre is this? Like, because like a lot of times you'll hear a song and you'll say, yo, what is this? Like, is worldwide, yes, is a genre. But I'm thinking either that or electronic or techno or house. something like that. Either or.
So we've done, I know we've done an episode about dance music, right? It was like music that makes you dance, but we haven't done one in particular for house, right?
No, not house, sorry, electronic. But we've brought a lot of that.
Yeah, we have. But yeah.
Freddie,
I like your first suggestion.
So your theme, it sounds like, is going to be music that crosses genres?
Probably.
Okay. All right. We're gonna tune in to find out. We're going to tighten up the wording and figure that out. But I like the direction. I mean, Adrian, look, you gave us music from the African diaspora, and it ended up being one of T-Mix's favorite episodes.
That's right. That's right, man. So tune in, T-Mix.
Good stuff. And Ra, appreciate you a lot for being our special guest. Hopefully we didn't scare you away.
Not at all. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm excited for what you got going on for Project and Reflect. Do you want to do any shameless plugs? Keep in mind, I'm going to have links to your podcast and your Twitter and your contact and all that in the show notes. But do you want any parting words for our listeners? Anything you want to plug?
Yeah, I love what Shortbox is doing. It's bringing a lot of awareness and to the intention, to the hard work that goes on behind podcasts and music. Plugins, follow me at Rockimism if you can, Wadeism. We just dropped some shirts for the podcast that we got going on. Yeah, that's about it.
I'm so glad that you plugged in your shirts. But with our release schedule, by the time this episode comes out, you will have shipped orders. But that is more reason to go ahead and do that. That is more reason to go ahead and give Rakim a follow on what he's got going on photography wise. I'm going to tell you, as someone that has personally hired Rakim for 3 separate events, and Yaya is shaking her head because she has also hired Rakim for a couple events. Fantastic photographer and fantastic podcaster. All right. Please check out our guy, Rakim. And with that being said, that's it for our show today. Spinheads, on behalf of the Next Spin crew, I'd like to thank you for tuning in. We're going to give you guys a round of applause for being supporters and fans. If you enjoyed this episode, look, all I'm asking is that you go ahead and find it in your heart to leave us a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Like we told you at the beginning, we got a life goal of ending up on the Roots Picnic podcast stage, and we need all the accolades and attention on us. So leave us a 5-star rating and review, please. And besides that, we'll catch you next month for the next spin. We will have an episode for you in April. Just stay tuned to the podcast feed. Take care of yourselves. Don't forget to play your records. Matter of fact, go ahead and frame. I challenge you right now. If you don't have your favorite record framed and up on your wall as a piece of artwork, hopefully that's your main takeaway. Hopefully that's what you got out of this episode, is that your records are also pieces of artwork that you can enjoy. Go ahead and frame one of them bad boys up. Put it on your wall. And most importantly, peace to everybody. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Bye.